consultation, securing reputation, a clever market plan. He didn't understand, that's all it really takes. He could have played for higher stakes. Now, somehow, we got along. La, la, la. This Jesus thing, it's a smash hit, it's package.
And welcome to Rob Talk here on M88. My name is Yo, your host here on the show, where we want to challenge you, encourage you, and most of all, get you to think. And tonight we're going to think about this Jesus thing that has become such a smash hit commercially. And we're going to discuss what that means for us as Christians. How can we balance business and ministry? How can we make sure that the message isn't drowned out by marketing? How can we make sure that we don't compromise in the pursuit of commercial success? Should be a fascinating conversation. And what I'd like to hear from you is, why do Christians need their own Christian everything? Should Christians have their own Christian everything? Do we really need our own Christian music, our own Christian clothes, our own Christian books, our own Christian movies, our own Christian? We have our own Christian everything. What sort of effect does that have on us as we try to minister to a world in need? If you got a question or comment about the stuff that we talk about tonight, give us a call at 505-338-5790 as we take a look at commercial Christianity. 505-338-5790 with your questions and comments as we go through this evening's topic. Our guest for this evening is a guy who is a part of what's been happening so far as the commercial success of Christianity, something that we've seen expand quite a bit in the past 5 years, maybe the past decade. Some say it was due to the success of The Passion of the Christ. Others say it was due to the success of the Left Behind series of books. Others say it's because of VeggieTales. Whatever was the catalyst, Christianity has certainly become much more profitable in the commercial sector, and the mainstream world is starting to take notice. Our guest tonight is the CEO of the company One to Believe, who has a line of Christian toys, and joining us is David, CEO of One to Believe. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, David. We appreciate you sharing your time with us this evening here on Raw Talk.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Now, why don't you tell us a little bit, first of all, about your company, One to Believe, you know, how it got started, what your vision was, and, you know, how you were a part of getting it started and its vision and all that type of stuff, just so people can get to know you a little bit.
Sure. Well, I think I'll start with probably the most important detail. I came to faith about 9.5 years ago, and I was already in the toy business. And it was just on my heart to really do something that could possibly impact a child's spiritual development. And we started praying as a company about 8 years ago and really tried to do something ever since then. And really nothing we did ever just seemed to feel right, feel like the Holy Spirit was leading it. And maybe a few years ago, maybe 3 years ago or so, we finally got the right talent at our company that we thought we could come up with some products that would be not only marketable, but also very helpful for the spiritual development of children, which is so lacking these days. So we've been in somewhat of an incubator stage for the last 2.5-3 years, working with somewhere close to 5,000 or 6,000 churches with our first line of products, which was talking Bible dolls. And from there, I've expanded it out. We have a little over 30 items now and going to close to 60 or 70 by Christmas.
Wow. Now, before you guys start focusing in on some of these toys, I was talking with you before the program, there's other parts of your company that is involved in other ways in the mainstream market, not necessarily focused just on the development of Christian toys, right?
Yes. Yeah. That's right. We've made product for various movie studios and Fortune 500 companies, and that's really how we've made our living these past, we've been in business about 15 years. So pretty much up until that point, and our big investment into One to Believe has largely come from those profits from those other divisions.
Now, I saw you guys on ABC News. I was watching the national news, and I thought it was very fascinating that a national, especially television news, because let's face it, there's not a lot of time on television news to report on things. So the fact that they would select something like One to Believe and the toys that you guys are developing as a feature for the nightly news, I thought was very, very interesting that they thought that was important enough to have on, you know, television news, because I studied a little bit of television broadcast when I was going through journalism in college, and you have to be super selective about what stories you put on television news, because there's only so much time. And so I saw you guys on there. I thought it was really interesting that ABC News picked up on that, and that got me interested in talking to you guys. So thank you so much for sharing your time. How did ABC News approach you guys, and you know, what was it that drew them to your company and wanted to, you know, why did they want to do a story on you guys?
Well, we had a small blurb in the money section of the USA Today, and from there, really, things snowballed into ABC came out, and they were going to do a podcast for their site, and then they were going to do world news, and then so it ended up being all in the same day. They did one shot, and they ended up just keep rolling it up, and it ended up getting onto world news and then Nightline on the same night. Really, I think it's just, it's a very compelling story because, for us and, you know, by God's grace, we've hit a nerve, in our country, good and bad, because there is such a backlash of, well, don't teach our children religion and let's just let them choose what they want. And we'll, you know, these school shootings aren't from lack of prayer in school and all these things. So I think that that's what's enticing the news to pick up on things like this, because we're trying to be that counterculture or the salt that the word talks about, and to get children engaged in the faith and get them on fire for our Lord.
Now, why don't you tell us a little bit about some of these toys that you developed? I thought it was kind of interesting when I saw the action figures that you guys had developed. I'm sorry, I just can't bring myself to call them dolls. I hope you don't mind. It's just as a guy, it's just like, I don't really want to do a show about dolls. Action figures, though. Yeah, let's talk about action figures. Talk a little bit about, you know, what your goal was and what your inspiration was for the development of these action figures.
Well, the goal is to get children engaged and excited about our faith. And what we noticed in the market is that children have a lot of things that glorify evil and Satan and promiscuity for girls. So we said, well, why don't we do something that is counterculture and with right in line with what we believe in our faith? And really, I don't think it's, I mean, I think recently it would be some breaking effort, but, you know, even 30, 40, 50 years ago, a lot of the books that were written, Christian authors, some of the most famous of from hundreds of years ago, I mean, everything used to be Christian in our Western world, in Europe. And really, it's just been recently since that small minority of atheists and things have taken over that, you know, there's not a big Christian influence anymore, because many Christians, for lack of a better term, are looked upon as ignorant because we believe in God. So we want to do something for children and really meet them at their base level. So we want to get them as soon as they're started. So we're working with major ministries like a Focus on the Family. And we've come up with these spiritual stepping stones, which really were somewhat of an inspiration of how to do our products. So we do a preschool line, then we do a little bit of the next generation child. So from 3 to 5, 5 to 8, 8 to 11, there's all these different spiritual stepping stones, which you can see on our website, which have been developed by a Focus on the Family and INCM and Family Life. So it's all about getting children engaged in their faith.
And
so, hopefully that answers your question, Yo.
Yeah. Which people from the Bible and whatnot did you pick for these action figures? Why did you pick those particular characters? And then it kind of made me laugh, not in a bad way. I hope you don't understand. But when they're showing them on ABC News, like some of the dolls were talking and like these big boisterous voices quoting scripture. I thought, wow, that's kind of interesting. So why don't you talk about like which characters you picked and why did you pick them?
Sure. Really, I mean, the goal is to do a survey of the Bible. So we picked the, call it the 15 most popular characters, where you could pretty much walk through the story of the Bible. And so we picked the most popular. Obviously, Jesus has the most items in the line because he did the most miracles, the most things that that are relevant to our faith. But really just trying to get children engaged on a base level. So Moses with the Ten Commandments, Jonah and the whale, all these correlations with the 40 days and the number three. I mean, all these things that, that all kind of tie together in a deeper level. But really just to try and get children engaged in the most interesting stories, Moses and Pharaoh. I'm just trying to think. Esther is also very popular on the coattails of the big movie One Night with a King, Mary, and the line that, that quotes scripture was very near and dear to my heart because I came to faith reading the Bible, something I had never been exposed to as a kid. So I wanted to make sure that, you know, children will play and repeatedly push the talk button on our dolls, and eventually they're going to learn John 3:16, and hopefully, it'll, most importantly in this interaction is that it'll get their parents engaged. And what we're finding is that parents who are not even that engaged in faith or maybe not of faith at all are intrigued by our product line because they don't have any options if they want to raise their child in a moral way. There's some great learning toys out there, but when you get to role-playing and pretend, a lot of it is evil and things like that. So we've been really encouraged by the fact that it's not only going to be appealing to our Bible-believing Christians, but it's going to be people on the fringe and people that are not even close to coming to church. So the characters were chosen to try and get people engaged at a base level.
Now, I find all this very intriguing that, you know, these types of toys and this kind of concept has been received, it seems, fairly favorably in the mainstream market because, you know, you're constantly hearing about people who are complaining about how, you know, evangelicals are shoving their beliefs down everyone's throats and how, you know, those Christians are just beating everyone over the head with the Bible because they want everyone to believe like them and things like that. And then you see something like this where people are saying, oh, it's good to have good moral, quote-unquote, moral toys and things of that nature. How have you been received for the most part when it comes just to the mainstream so far as working with mainstream companies to distribute the toys? And have any of them asked you, could you tone it down a little bit? Because, you know, we don't want to beat people over the head with a Bible stick, but we like the idea of good, quote-unquote, positive role models and things of that nature. How has all this been received by some of the mainstream ties or mainstream companies that you've worked with?
You know, Walmart is the first major one, and in terms of the other companies, we're not really into toning things down. We will take creative criticisms where, you know, they want three items instead of two, they want a better price, things like that. But when it comes to quoting scripture and things, we're going to be true to the mark, even if we don't get in any more major retailers. But we've been received fairly favorably. You know, I think, I'm sure... well, I mean, we know that I think it's American Atheist or whatever it is has been pretty hot and heavy about us. You know, they think we're proselytizing children and things. And, you know, we've been on a lot of interviews, especially in Britain. In the UK, the BBC has been all over this. And atheists that come on and they just scream and yell. And I say, you know what, sir, you don't have to buy our products. If it's great, but you don't have to buy them. That's the thing. You don't have to buy this. You don't have to buy a Bible. But if you want your child in good stories, here you go. And I say to him, why do you even care? To you, it's just a make-believe book anyway. So take these as make-believe characters. So, but all in all, we've been received pretty favorably through most media. I mean, you know, on the interviews, of course, there's always going to be a negative side that they always get someone in that, but it's good because I think that it just sharpens us as believers.
Well, I'm glad you have that attitude about it. I know there's some people who would feel, oh, man, we're being persecuted. You know, if anyone said anything bad about them as they try to do something like this, you know, I mean, that's often the Christian reaction whenever someone offers some criticism or tries to balance it with an opposite viewpoint. Oh, you're just persecuting Christians. You don't know what you're talking about. So, you know, it's cool to hear that you have more of a balanced outlook so far as getting into the market with these types of Christian toys. Now, let me ask you this. And I don't know if you have an answer for this, but Christian toys are not necessarily new. You know, they've been around, but like I was pointing out at the beginning of the program, within the past 5 years, maybe the past decade, all of a sudden the quote-unquote Christian market has really mushroomed and exploded, so much so that, you know, the mainstream market says, oh, there's money to be made there. What do you think it was? I mean, can you think of any one particular thing that happened that was kind of a catalyst that sort of thrust Christian toys and just Christian commerciality in general into the spotlight where people realize, well, yeah, it's Christian, but you know what? There's money to be made here.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt. I mean, I personally think the passion kind of popped the bubble that, you know, that have kind of opened up Christians' ears, which I like because we should be demanding better things for our life and for our family and for our children. Now, I do think we have to be careful because I'll be honest, some of my worst business disappointments and people who have ripped me off have been Christians or so-called Christians. So I tread lightly because when we call ourselves a Christian business, you have to be so careful. And when in doubt, you're wrong and you have to, you know, be humble and take it because it's not about, at some point it becomes more about the ministry and the sharing than it does about the money and the and the bottom line profits. So, but I think that it's the passion of the Christ definitely broke the mold and created this market. And as well as this last presidential election, I think the last two elections have really opened it up to where, wow, you know what, evangelicals can unite. Although now maybe we're divided somewhat, it seems, with all the political climate. But I would say the passion.
Now, and that was the thing I was going to follow up with. You know, the past 5 or 10 years has been very good so far as Christian marketing goes. Do you see that trend necessarily maybe starting to taper off a little bit? You know, there's been some talk about how with the upcoming election, how things are changing so much because people maybe feel like they've been browbeaten a little bit the past 8 years so far as the right-wing, religious, evangelical, blah, 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 whatever. So do you see the market starting to change already, or do you think this is a trend that will sustain itself?
I know it's not a political conversation, but I don't think the business part of it is going to change. I do think the political part is going to change because I think that, you know, we have browbeaten and not come through on some of the things that we thought were going to happen. And, you know, some people forgot what they have committed to doing overseas. So I think that, evangelicals will take a hit on the lip for that. But I think in terms of marketing, I think in general, I think we're expecting more and more and more. I'm expecting, I mean, I have young children. I'm expecting by the time they're, you know, old enough to watch PG movies, PG-13 movies, that they're going to all be Christian. Hmm. And I think that there's a trend and, you know, we're very close to the studios. So we see that, you know, there's studios that no one's ever heard of that are investing hundreds of millions of dollars in feature films that are Christian. So we're encouraged on that front. And I don't see it tapering as long as there's a market there.
Now, you mentioned, you know, the Christian film market. Obviously, Narnia has been another big factor so far as adapting, you know, something that's been cherished for a lot of Christians into the mainstream market. What sort of future do you see your company having for doing product tie-ins? You know, that's the big thing when it comes to movies. We saw that with Transformers, probably one of the biggest marketing machines this past summer so far as,
yeah,
you know, the toys that can tie in. Are you thinking along those lines for the future? Do you see a future market for Christianity where you do that same type of thing, where you have product tie-ins that go from a movie to a video game to toys to, you know, that whole machine that goes on during the summer?
Yeah, I could. I think it's going to be it'll be tougher. I mean, VeggieTales has probably gotten the closest, but it's it's so small comparatively. I mean, we are working with other Christian studios that are approaching us because we have a baseline of product now that some of it can fit in right with their films. There's actually a big Moses animated movie coming out this fall that I didn't hear about until quite recently, but they're going to put a lot of market behind it, and it's pretty good. So I think that there will be opportunities like that. Will it catch on like a Transformer? And I mean, if you look at these big movies, those are the mega busters that are $300-500 million to make and market and promote, and they expect to do a billion worldwide. So I don't know if that'll be right on this near horizon unless something surprises. I mean, Narnia will be. The next two Narnia movies will probably be huge. So I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Well, I thought it was kind of interesting. I was reading about, you know, all this, the Christian market so far as commercial success goes, and they're saying that back in 2004, quote-unquote religious products was a $7 billion business, which obviously had a lot of people starting to sit up and take notice, including Walmart. And Walmart has gotten behind that in a big way, but so have other companies, realizing that there's money to be made when it comes to the Christian market. Now, you know, here's where things start to get tricky, and I hope you don't mind me asking these types of questions.
No.
But how do we as Christians, when we see the mainstream world, like, oh, there is money to be made here, and they start moving in, you know, because they want to make money, how do we make sure that Christianity isn't compromised in the pursuit of commercial success?
I think, I mean, in my personal opinion, I'm fine with mainstream companies, with an asterisk next to it, making Christian products, but they have to have a Christian, someone has to be, you know, on the Passion of the Christ, they had every major, you know, upstanding ministry basically endorse or put their name on that film. And I think that if Fox wants to get in that market and they're not Christian and they just want to make money, I think they have to have Christians doing the content. Because as Christians, we need to stand up if it's not right and don't support it. But if it supports what we're doing, I think we would only be hurting ourselves if we don't. Why not support it and get every major company making Christian films? I mean, wouldn't it be great if Disney said, you know what, we're going to do a release of the 12 Bible epics, and we're going to have the Billy Graham Foundation oversee all the content. I mean, to me, that would be ultimate goal pie in the sky, because that would share our faith with hundreds of millions of people that would never ever get a taste of what we have. So I just think we have to be careful. And we were that, you know, in our marketing plan and strategy was, you know, we went out for a year or 2 years just to get endorsements and people behind us and making sure we're doing the right thing. And for us, it's not about, of course, we're in business and we have our, you know, we have 20 families that we support through our company that, you know, with our employees and things, but we have to make money. But for us, it's more about the ministry first, and God's willing, we'll make profits, but it's not about it's not about profit first, which is kind of, it's not good for a businessman to say, but that's that's why we're in it.
Well, you know, that's really interesting. And again, I hope you don't mind me asking this, because I'm sure there's a lot of Christian businesses that are facing these exact same types of questions. But in the pursuit of, yeah, we want to do ministry first, but then say an opportunity comes along where someone like a big mainstream corporation says, oh, absolutely, we want to be in business with you, so on and so forth. Now, obviously, they have no concern about ministry. Their concern is purely business. So, how do you feel about the possibility of the mainstream exploiting the Christian market and Christians going along with it? Because in their minds, oh, this is going to be a way to be successful in ministry, but is that really going to happen when the mainstream company that's trying to help out is really just out there for the money? I mean, do you understand what I'm trying to ask here? I mean, how do we find the balance there where you know, you have two completely different worlds that are trying to mesh now between the mainstream and the Christian market, and they are coming together, but the question is, how well is that going to work?
Yeah. I think that as long as we're still our self that our Lord talks about, and we also have to understand that we each have this measure of faith that Paul talked about, and some people will be more convicted on certain issues than others. And I think that we can't be judgmental to, as it says in, I think, Corinthians, to our weaker brother. We need to be all things to all men. And I do think there is a bottom line, core bottom line, that if they're going to get into business with us, obviously we're not going to get into business with a pornography company, you know, for the sake of our ministry, excuse my language.
Yeah.
But I think we have to draw a line somewhere, and the line is probably going to be tough to find in the sand, because it's so hard to find out everything about every company you do business with. But I think that if they're doing content, as long as the content is pure to the message of the gospel, then I think it's okay. With, you know, so obviously, you know, somebody has a horrible reputation, you're not going to get in business with them. I've done that plenty of times, and I recommend no one do it.
Yeah.
Because I've done that in my past, and I've had some hard lessons and expensive lessons. And as Christians, we just need to be the salt and to remain salt, even if it means turning away business where, you know, you could make an extra X amount of dollars, but you may be compromising your ethics.
Well, you're listening to Raw Talk here on M88. My name's Yo, and I'm joined by David, CEO of One to Believe, a company that is promoting a new line of Christian toys, and with all the stuff that's going on in the Christian market, bringing up some very interesting questions for us to consider as Christians. Now, perhaps you might have some questions, so give us a call, 505-338-5790, or perhaps you'd like to comment on kind of the core question here is, do Christians really need their own everything, from music to books to movies to toys? Do we really need that? And where do we balance the ministry and the marketing? So if you got a question or a comment, give us a call at 505-338-5790 as we kind of examine the business side of Christianity, which almost sounds, when I was considering doing the show, David, I was having a lot of trouble kind of figuring out how to approach it, because in my mind, it was just such an unusual thing to be thinking about. I was raised by my dad, obviously, that is irrelevant, but he was a Baptist pastor and worked for the chapel. He was a chaplain in the Air Force, and, you know, all my life, he preached every Sunday and prepared a new message every Sunday, and I don't think I ever heard him repeat a message in the 20 years that I listened to him. And I listened to him every, you know, I went to church with him every Sunday. The only couple times I heard him repeat a message was a couple of holiday messages that he did, but then, you know, we were in a different country. You know, like the last time I heard it, we were in the Philippines, and now, you know, we were in Alabama, and so, like, what's the odds that anyone there is gonna hear it? But there's like a handful of messages that he ever repeated, always had something fresh. And I asked him one time, because it was so mind-blowing to me. I was like, Dad, do you ever run out of things to teach about from the Bible? And he laughed at me, actually. It was kind of interesting. He said, no, son, there's always new stuff. I find new stuff every day. I've never had any reason to repeat, and I don't think I ever will. And he eventually retired from preaching, but I'm sure he could have gone on another 20, 30 years and never repeated the message. So that was kind of the environment I grew up in. And then, you know, I entered Christian radio and went around some big mega churches and things like that. And here was a whole new world for me as Christians where, you know, someone wasn't delivering a message on Sunday. They were putting together a series that would be packaged and have artwork and presented and sold and accompanying DVDs, and, you know, you can get all this and all, you know, all this. It was a marketing machine, and it was just absolutely mind-blowing. And then you see that, you know, with the Christian movies that are coming out, and then you brought up Fox Faith, and all of a sudden it seems like Christianity is transferring into this very marketing business kind of mode. And it is just so weird for me to kind of enter that arena. Can I ask, were you always a part of that arena, or how did you get into the business side of Christianity?
Really, it was just on my heart. When I came to faith, I wanted to do something other than make just normal toys out there. I wanted to do something that would that would impact children. And, you know, I've gotten involved in various ministries and on the board of various of one ministry in particular that I take a big part of. But I think it's kind of in your core. It's I think Ephesians 2:11 says the Lord has put these good works out in front of you to do, and I think that this is just something that's kind of in you when you become a believer. It, to some degree, I mean, I think everyone's different, but for me, it was I need something with my talents, my faith, and my resources to impact the children where I can most get where I can be most effective.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you this. Have you ever come across someone, or how do you deal with it, when people say, well, you're just in for it, the money? I mean, how do you answer the people who might be concerned, not just about Christian toys, about anything that is the Christian marketing machine, where they say, well, you know, I can't really believe in that because they're just out for a profit like anybody else. They're just preying on, you know, the needs of people who are seeking for that spiritual fix, and all this product out there that's just, you know, serving a need. But, you know what I'm saying? The people who approach it very cynically and say, you know, if it's for profit, then it can't be a genuine ministry.
Well, you know, I think that, and I have had that, you know, with people who don't know me or in foreign countries when we do our interviews. And it's just all about, you don't know me, and if you go to our website and you peruse it around and look at some of the ministries we work with, some of the ministries that we support. But again, I mean, I can only say these things to people. And I kind of refer to the verse that, you know, I kind of like to do my tithing and giving in private, and my prayers in private.
Mm-hmm.
And but you can get a taste of what we're about on our website, and really, it's really, though, I think it is a fine line, and you really have to be careful, because you can make a lot of money in business marketing. And I'll be honest with you, we've made nothing with this company yet because we have so much invested in tooling and marketing and things like that. But these movie companies are going to make a lot of money, and that's the fine line. If it's true to our faith, I say support it. I say if it's true to what the Word of God says, support it. And no matter who makes it, because it's just spreading our gospel message. So, you know, that's just the line I've taken. You know, there's certain things I won't do, a lot of things I won't do. And my wife, and, you know, she's more conservative than I am, but she, you know, we are very conservative people, and in business, that's probably the line I take, is if it's true to the Bible, I almost don't care who's giving the message unless it's hurting the message. So
now how hard have you found it to balance this whole idea of ministry and business? Because, you know, we see it happening more and more from churches to companies. You know, you have Christian plumbers and Christian dance mm-hmm. studios, and
yeah.
and there's a Christian business for just about everything. I haven't come across a Christian pizza company necessarily that I'm aware of, but, you know, I'm sure there's one out there. So how hard have you found it to balance this idea of business and ministry? Because that is becoming a much more major concern, especially with the World Wide Web. You have a whole international community, really, that when your company is online, you know, the possibilities are endless. So how difficult is that to balance business and ministry, and what sort of advice would you offer people who are considering doing this?
Well, my first advice would be, if you're a true believer and love the Lord, if you get into business, be prepared to take a lot of hard hits, but you cannot compromise your faith for money, period. So no matter if you have to be poor on the street for 6 months to get back on your feet, you cannot leave a bad mark for the Lord. And I am very, very particular about it, and have actually been called judgmental by a very big businessman who says, I have not forgiven, but it's not about forgiveness. It's about, if you claim to be a Christian company, you better walk the line and act like a Christian and Christian. That is my biggest advice, because I have been myself personally burned by Christians for, I'm not talking $500, I'm talking tens of thousands of dollars, and they think nothing of it, and they end up at another Christian company after their company goes out of business. So I just you are, when you call yourself a Christian company, you are putting on Christ, and you better be true to what you're putting on. So that's my number one advice. And I would say that mixing ministry with business, make sure you keep them in your realm. I'm in the children's business, and I stayed in the children's business in our ministry. So that would be my suggestion. If you're in the Christian window business, you know, stick with, you know, helping Habitat for Humanity and donate windows. I wouldn't try and veer too far off from what your expertise is. I find that when you do it, you get confused, and you kind of lose sight of what your talents are and what God has put you on earth to further His kingdom.
Now, what sort of biblical principles are there? Are there certain Bible passages? Is there certain scriptures, certain teachings that you kind of use as a baseline, as a plumb line, as it were, to sort of guide you and check everything against when you're trying to balance this business and ministry?
There's a great book out by John Maxwell, and it's called "There's No Such Thing as Business Ethics." Now, when you hear it, I tell people about that book, and they're like, "Oh, really? That's how you do your business?" I said, "No, you're not understanding. There is no such thing as business ethics and home ethics and personal ethics. It's all the same. If you are a Christian, you're a Christian at work, you're a Christian at home, you're a Christian at wherever you go, and the scale cannot be different. Because once you try to make it different, you get cloudy and you lose your way. So that's the biggest principle I go on is there is no difference between personal and business ethics.
Now, what about biblical verses, or, you know, do you use proverbs, or what sort of stuff do you use from the Bible to guide your business? Do you use stuff from the Bible to guide your business?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, every product line is obviously guided by the Bible. Proverbs 31 for our girls' products, and I'm kind of going around the question first because I just kind of put things in context. But
oh no, that's fine.
Our Proverbs 31 line for girls really talks about a true character of a woman and true worth. You know, it's not in dressing crazily and dressing like some of the products that are out there now, or some of the clothes you see in every high school across America. So, but big on Proverbs, big on, the whole ant Proverbs where, you got to work hard and you really have to stick with it. And, you know, it may take a long time. It's taken us 9 years to just scratch the surface in our faith-based market. But I think it really takes that tenacity of never quitting. And you can go by, almost every major character in the Bible was an underdog to some great degree. Moses was slow of speech and he ends up being the greatest leader. David was the youngest brother. His brothers laughed when he went out to fight Goliath and he becomes the greatest king. And Esther was a minority in a foreign land. So, you know, I think we have to look at these underdog strategies, especially as businessmen. But my best business advice I can give anyone is do not give up. Never, ever give up, because then it's over. As soon as you give up, it's over. So, and I know it sounds very cliche, but it is so true. I've seen so many companies who had great ideas but just didn't have the wherewithal or the tenacity to stick with it when it really hurt.
Well, you're listening to Raw Talk. Our special guest from One to Believe is the CEO of that company, David, joining us this evening. If you got a question for David about Christianity and business, commercial Christianity, marketing, our beliefs, and anything along that lines, or if you got a comment about what we've talked about so far, 505-338-5790. Do we really need Christian everything? And if so, how is that going to be an effective ministry in reaching the world for Christ? 505-338-5790. If you got a question or comment for David or myself, or just want to address the world in general as we talk about this tricky topic of Christianity and business. Now, David, a lot of people just going back to school now and heading off to college. And let me ask you, how can we better equip these kids for business? You know, because one way or another, just about every kid going to high school, every kid going to college is going to be in some sort of business as an employee, maybe as a CEO eventually, maybe as a manager, maybe as, you know, whatever. So all these kids eventually, they're going to be involved in the marketplace somehow, and they're going to all have to balance business and ministry. So how can we better prepare these kids to do that?
I think most importantly is that we need to teach them that money is not everything. And to, one, you need to find your talent and do what that talent is and do your best at it. And, you know, when I speak at high schools or something, I always tell them, okay, I wanted to be a professional hockey player growing up.
Really?
I know that's a long shot. So I always say, make sure you have a backup plan, because I think God gives you that backup plan. And make sure you keep those skills as well. And, you know, do what you love. And I think get some basic training in business, money management, but get them based in your faith. If you're a Bible believing Christian, then base your principles and what you believe about money on what the Bible says, and base your tithing on it. And I don't tell anyone how much to tithe, but there's a pretty good guideline in the Bible, I think, that gives you a baseline, and I think make sure you stick to that and be faithful to it. If you're making $1 a week, give your tithe off the $1 a week. If you're making $1 million a week, give your tithe off that. And I think keeping it biblically based and God-centered is really important. And I notice that in a lot of college grads these days who may even go to a Christian college, come out, and it's really all about making the six figures and all about making that huge money, when really it should be about, I mean, what is Christianity all about? It's about serving and taking care of those who need help. And I think that, you know, there's a minority that looks at it and says, you know what, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to go out, and I'm only going to make $8,200 my first 3 years out of college, but I'm going to help a lot of people in the process. So I think that's what I would really say, is serve people, and you'll find your greatest enjoyment and happiness, even at a young age. You know, I came to faith, in my late 20s, but I do find what, after I get back from a mission, I feel the most satisfied, and I think that that's what I'd recommend these college graduates to do as well, is to maybe even do a missions trip or a long-term missions trip right out of college and kind of get their head in the right place.
Well, we have Rebecca on the line joining us here on Raw Talk. Rebecca, welcome to Raw Talk, and what do you have to say?
I just wanted to say that I appreciate what he's doing, because I feel like with a lot of the junk toys that are out there, it provides an alternative for parents who want to give their kids something that's not so not so edifying. And also, I think that a lot of the problems with Christian products these days are that they're not as good quality as some of the secular products that are out on the market. I think that because of that, a lot of the children are discouraged from buying those types of toys. But I think that the books that there are out, and my husband and I were listening, thinking that these products we're going to have to be watching for them, because they seem like something that we might like be interested in buying, because they don't sound too bad.
Well, Rebecca brings up a really good point there, David, so far as, let's be honest, very often Christian product is second rate, be it books, movies, music, anything. It's either behind the trend of what's popular, trying to catch up and copy what's happening in the mainstream market, or it's just not done as well. How has that played into what you guys want to do with the toys that you're developing, David?
Well, we're in the mainstream toy market, so we understand, you know, as best you can, the children's trends, you know, and other than video games, which we're not in that market as of yet, we may be at some point, but we really tried to do, I mean, we've invested, we use the best sculptor in toys, which is located in California, which was not cheap, Rebecca, I promise you, and really just trying to be that even half a step better than a secular product, because personally, in my opinion, I think Christians deserve the best. You know, and you're right, Rebecca. I mean, when you go into and see various products, and I'm definitely not going to name any of them because I don't think that would be the Christian thing to do, I would make a call to all Christian companies that, you know what, let's step it up and let the kids enjoy a great Christian product no matter what it is, which well, can help their faith.
One thing I want to mention is, I don't know if you're aware of the product or the DVDs. They're called Angel Wars. My children, I have three boys and one girl, and after watching VeggieTales as young kids, now they're really interested in that. It's a new Christian-based DVD, and it's called Angel Wars, and they really like those too. So okay. We'll have to see if those ones come out. I'm not sure if they have already or not, but.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen them. I think they may have approached us to do product. But, yeah, we have heard that more and more. And I think there's going to be even more things coming out that our children will be able to be engaged in that will be biblically based. And
that's good. I think it provides a good foundation for them.
Well, Rebecca, thanks so much for calling in. That was a very good comment. I'm glad you brought it up because I would have forgot
thanks.
About it. Thanks, Rebecca.
Thanks. Have a good night.
You too.
Thanks, Rebecca.
If you got a question or comment that you'd like to share tonight on Raw Talk, like Rebecca did, got a couple lines open for you, 505-338-5790. I've only got about 15 minutes left in the program, so call in 505-338-5790. The commercial Christianity, the pros and the cons. Should we be involved in marketing our beliefs as Christians, or is that something that might compromise us too much? If you got a question or comment along those lines, 505-338-5790. You're listening to Raw Talk as we chat with David from One to Believe. And, you know, David, that was a very good comment about the whole idea of the quality of Christian product because, you know, honestly, it just hasn't been there as much as we would like. Now, let me ask you this, you know, going back to how we're talking about preparing the next generation of Christian business people, you know, when it comes to youth groups and stuff, a lot of times youth groups focus on a lot of things. But business isn't always one of them, and I'd like to ask you about that here in just a moment. But we got Anna Marie on the line with us. Anna Marie, welcome to Raw Talk, and what do you have to say?
Well, yes, as you were talking about, you have with the VeggieTales, how they're coming out with the things. Have you ever considered about making toys for them for the VeggieTales movie?
Yeah, Anna Marie, we do some VeggieTales products. And it's fairly limited. I think that they do a lot of product directly themselves, and their main marketing push though is for their videos and their DVDs. Their CDs. So they do some product, but really it's their movies and their music that they really focus on.
Does that help you out there, Anna Marie?
Yeah, it does.
All right.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
You bet. Thanks for calling in, Anna Marie. And I also know VeggieTales, they're working on another full-length animated film, The Pirates Who Don't Do Anything. They're working on that. So going back to what I was saying about the youth groups, you know, how they focus on a lot of things like, you know, don't have sex and don't drink and don't do this and don't do that. And a lot of important stuff for teenagers to know. But one thing that often they aren't prepared for is the business world. And like I said, one way or the other, we're all touched by the business world. And so what do you think youth groups could do, A, to get Christian kids interested? And you know what? There's a place where you can make an impact, a missions field where you can make an impact as a Christian in the business world. Or B, here's how you can get ready to deal with the business world as a Christian.
You know, I think it touches on a great point. We actually did a ministry years back called Hungry Hero, which was in the West Indies, and it brought together different people who aspired to be Christian entrepreneurs, and they presented a business plan, and then we helped fund one of their businesses to get off the ground.
Hmm.
I think it would be a great idea if youth groups did talk about the business aspects and maybe even do, you know, do a 2-week topic study, or, you know, if they want to get deeper into it and they had a business group, because, you know, there's a lot of kids in high school who do want to start their own business, and talk about the business ethics and the different options and what are the lines, because I think that's the big deal. When you get into business, and I've noticed that there's a lot of Christian kids, and I'm sure you're familiar, Yo, that, you know, don't get exposed to the world so much, but when they start working at a corporation, whoa, all
yeah.
of a sudden, every which way, I mean, I moved to California from a small town in upstate New York, and I got different birds and bees talk the first week I was at work. I mean, it was incredible, and I think that there's definitely a line of ethics that you need to know where you are before it comes up, because it's going to come up when you get in the business world.
Well, that's good advice for helping out, you know, the kids. Now, on the flip side, what about the church? You know, like I pointed out, there's a lot of mega churches, and, you know, the mega churches, even though they're a small percentage of churches across the United States, you know, most churches are, you know, between 1 to 500 people. That's
right.
That's what most churches are. And yet, you know, you have these very rare mega churches, yet they leave a huge footprint, and, you know, people kind of think, when they think of church, that's what they think of, because these mega churches have such a huge presence and they're very good at the whole marketing thing. But, you know, the fact that there are churches that are good at it, what can the church do to better help prepare and equip Christians to also engage in the business world and to be better businessmen and women? And, you know, how could the church contribute to that very necessary area, especially as we see the Christian business world kind of blooming and, again, merging much more with the mainstream market?
I think it's a fine line, and it's really where your beliefs are aligned. But I think that the church needs to be fiscally responsible. And, you know, whether you believe your pastor should drive a Mercedes-Benz or not drive a Mercedes-Benz, I think all these things have influences all the way down the line. But I think where our conversation is going is more towards, could the church do a 6 or 8 week program that got interested teens or young adults into, you know, what is the biblical principles for business? And I think it'd be a great idea. But I think most importantly, the church needs to be living out what those biblical principles are, and how does their business, the church, reflect and carry down to its members. I think is very important. And you know, we all see the churches who abuse their money. there's plenty of those, and
yeah.
We just really need to be careful, because it is in the end, it's all God's. So if we're letting him down in the church, we're going to let him down in a lot of other places.
Well, we're just about out of time, David, but I got one other thing I wanted to ask you about. I've been reading through the book of Acts recently, and I came across in Acts chapter 19. It's a really interesting story, you know, where Paul is in this town. He's sharing his faith, and the problem is that's interfering with the local business, and the local business was selling statues and other paraphernalia for
yeah.
the idol worship that went on there. And because these business guys who were selling religious paraphernalia were losing money, they got upset at Paul, and it kind of snowballed into this riot. And then, like, someone points out, hey, if you guys got a problem here, take it to the Better Business Bureau. That's a paraphrase, of course, but that's basically
right.
what was pointed out. And then everyone's like, oh, yeah, this is kind of a business-related kind of problem. Well, the thing that I thought was so interesting about that passage is now – here in the 21st century, the Christian world is kind of emerging into that place where they're the market. And so what do you think would happen if some other belief, and as we get closer to the end times, you know, itchy ears are going to hear lots of other things. Like, we got this whole thing with The Secret going on, which is taking a chunk out of Christian books and stuff of that nature. You know, what would happen if some other religious belief comes along and starts taking away the money from the Christian market? How should we respond to that? Obviously not with a riot.
Yeah, well, I guess I thought you were going somewhere else with it, so I'm pulling back a little bit.
Oh, sorry.
No, I think we need to keep doing what we're doing. And, you know, the good news is we know that evil always fails, and in the end it will. And even if it's disguised in really nice things, like, and I don't know that much about the secret. I've just heard various Christian ministries or ministers talk about it, that it is not pro-Christianity. So, I just say we need to keep doing our thing, and we need to keep plugging along. And, you know, obviously Europe's in a big downturn right now for Christianity, and, you know, various other places are down, but other places are up. Brazil is booming. The Middle East, hopefully, we'll see some resurgence in Israel. I know a lot of Christians are trying to move back there, and I think that, you know, we know what happens in the end, and I think we just need to keep our eye on the goal and do as much as we can, but we have to do our best for God. We have to do our best for the Lord Jesus, because that's what we're commanded to do, no matter where we are. If we're, you know, picking up garbage to a CEO of Hewlett-Packard or IBM or whoever the biggest company, you know, of Microsoft, we need to be doing our absolute best. And I think, I strive to. I fail every few minutes, but I strive to. And that would be my suggestion. I mean, we lived through the Da Vinci Code, was just blasphemy. And, you know, I think many Christians would say that, but I will tell you, it pulled a lot of Christians off path. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people who are on the fringe, it definitely pulled them, even made them ask more questions, and they think it's true. And so, but we just need to keep doing the truth. And that's why when I say, if you're a Christian businessman, please walk the walk. Please talk the talk. Or just don't say you're Christian. Just be a good businessman and screw up sometimes. But if you're Christian, you cannot mess people over. So I think that would be my final advice.
Well, that's good. You know, the bottom line isn't just the bottom line. The bottom line is how we represent Christ, really, if you're going to be in Christian business, isn't it?
That's the deal.
David, why don't you tell everyone, the website where they can find out more about your business if they're curious about, you know, When to Believe and what you got going on there and where they can find out more about you?
Sure. We're One to Believe. You spell out One, O-N-E, the number two. You don't spell that out, just the number two, and then believe.com. And you're more than welcome to go on our website, and there's a link for the various Walmart stores, which I think we're in a few Walmart stores around your area, which that's one way to get your voice heard, that you want to have Christian product in your local Walmart. It's the first time that Walmart's actually taken a section of toys, and that's what's gotten us a lot of press. So we appreciate anybody's support, and feel free to write us comments or questions. I try to answer every email personally. So
wow. Well, if you become successful, you won't be able to do that for long, will you?
It's one of my goals. I mean, we've gotten, you know, we had thousands of people contact us, and I try to really just stay on top of it.
That's cool. Well, David, thank you so much for sharing your time and your thoughts on everything that's been going on. And again, you know, I was intrigued by your action figures. Again, I just can't bring myself to call them dolls. but I thought it was just, you know, one more intriguing area in the marketplace where Christianity is making inroads and actually maybe even making an impact when it comes to the mainstream market. So thanks so much, David, and really appreciate you sharing your time with us tonight, all right?
Thanks, yo. God bless.
All right, God bless you, too. So David from One to Believe hanging out with us this evening, and just wanted to let you know, next week we're going to talk about Girls Gone Wild, and we're going to talk about all those role models that we see in the public eye that aren't really very good role models. Well, what should mothers and fathers do when their own sweet little girls see those role models and think that's the way a girl is supposed to live? And that's a topic that's actually very near and dear and frightening to my heart, as I have two little girls. So we're going to talk about that next week with a very special guest, as we talk about the importance of raising godly women and how can we make sure that our little girls grow up to be godly women. And especially with some of the role models that we see today, there's some challenges to overcome. We'll examine that in detail next week on Raw Talk. I'm looking forward to that personally, because I could certainly use the advice. That's going to wrap things up for Raw Talk this evening. Again, thanks to David from One to Believe for sharing his heart and his thoughts this evening. I hope you have a great week in the Lord. Thanks for joining us here on Raw Talk on M88.
Money, 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 money. Left high school at 16, picking identity, entrepreneur dreams, huh? Find yourself a strategy. Next Saturday, the class of 97 is graduating. In a couple of years, I'll grab a GED. As for now, we'll just make ends meet, huh? Put a R in the place where it's forced to succeed. The place where your hobbies and the real world meet. 40-minute walks to work to bus tables full time with a pair of headphones on to block out traffic going by. 40 back to make music all night with a pair of headphones on to block out my life. Open mic nights, let the spit fly. 100 hands reaching for the chance to try. And maybe I grew up a bit too quick. It can't be all about the music, admit it.